43. Park further from the store and walk. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Every 30 minutes, another innocent person is killed due to a drunk driver.
My best friend.
My brother.
My poor grandchild.
My sister.
My father.
My husband.
My mom. My mommy.
Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I've built my life around you.
Stop these tragedies before they happen. Don't drink and drive.
Ugh, my boyfriend dumped me. I still have to finish my research project, and my parents' divorce is tearing me apart.
Does this sound like you?
I just feel hopeless.
Someone is always there to help. Don't give up. When you feel like you don't belong, talk about it. Never keep things locked inside. If you need help, please call the suicide hotline number 1-800-273-8255.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends.
In biology,
in English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm not going to get you any beer. I don't want any responsibility for whatever stupid thing you guys might do.
In Taylor's case, that was never said. They got the beer.
Mrs. Meyer, this is Jen, Emily's mom. I'm here with Taylor at the football game, and she's pretty drunk.
In Taylor's case, that call was never made. Those parents thought she would be okay. She wasn't driving.
Can we please do something else tonight that doesn't involve just getting wasted?
In Taylor's case, that wasn't said either, because a drinking party was just seen as harmless fun.
Taylor's pretty drunk. We better just get her home.
And that wasn't done, because the judgment and reasoning of all of her friends who might have looked out for her was clouded by alcohol. My name is Kathy Meyer. My 17-year-old daughter, Taylor, walked away from an underage drinking party in the woods, drunk. She passed away, alone. She was found 3 days later. I don't want one more family or one more community to go through what we have.
Created and presented by One Voice Youth to Youth.
Live in beautiful downtown Boston, this is the Jeff Santos Show.
Minutes past the hour as we go to the top of the show here. 1977, Jimmy Buffett and Earl Bender. You had something to do with a concert with Mr. Buffett and company.
A couple of days before the primary in Portland, Oregon, I was the guy on the ground doing the campaign in Portland who, along with one of the advance guys, put together a concert warm-up for Jimmy Carter's only appearance with Rosalind, because they'd been going home every weekend. One would go home and be with Amy, and the other one would be on the road. That weekend, they brought both Jimmy Carter and Rosalind to Portland, Oregon, along with Amy, and to warm up the crowd, we had a huge outdoor rally. At that point in time, the largest crowd that had ever been seen in Portland for a political event. And we had Jimmy Buffett and Jerry Jeff Walker warming them up. They'd both been in town performing a couple of days before, and both had campaigned for Carter throughout the campaign, as had Willie Nelson, the Allman Brothers, and a number of other Southern rock and roll acts.
That's pretty amazing stuff. Talking with Earl Bender here, as days, you know, working in advance with the Carter campaign and the course, in the overall
field,
White House.
I'm not an advanced guy. I'm a field guy. Yeah, for political folks, there's a huge distinction.
That's true. That's true.
Neither one likes the other.
Well, many people will think of it as an advanced guy, and we had one of the best advanced guy on last week, your good friend and mine, Jim King. So I guess we'll have to be very specific about that, as Jim was one of the better ones. So let me ask you this. You know, you look at that time period of the music that you just mentioned, and you know, we'll help to play Queen again, Ron Kreider, you know, the gay community being very big. All those things diverging. And, you know, again, you mentioned in a conversation we had months ago in regards to the 1979, quote-unquote, malaise speech. You know, all of these things were happening, you know, and was in a lot of ways, we going in two different directions. You know, there was the reaction in 1978 when Republicans, and of course, this, a lot of people would say this led to Reagan becoming president in 80, kind of a reaction by the right against taxes, against government. We're seeing a lot of that now. You know, at the time, I believe it was Prop 13 in California in 78. A couple of years later, it was Prop 2.5 in Massachusetts. You know, that basically would slash and burn government. At the same time, socially, culturally, we were, you know, progressing. You know, the gay community through disco and a lot of other civil liberties. Talk to me about that.
Well, it's you've hit on a very interesting touchstone about that time. Americans sometimes believe in a free lunch. They really want their government to provide a fundamental safety net and an underpinning for everybody so everybody gets a fair chance in life. They think that opportunity should be available to everyone, and they think that education should be available, because if you have an education and you have the opportunity, you can make something of themselves. And I think that's true across all spectra of our political life. However, some people don't want to pay any taxes. They want government to fix their problems, but they want government to do it for free. And you just can't have services and things helping you out without also having to pay for it a little bit. You know, right now we've got a crass example in front of us. Trump wants to build a wall and he doesn't want to pay for it. He thinks that everybody else should pay for it.
Yeah.
And to their credit, a lot of Republican lawmakers think that their citizens shouldn't be stuck with the bill because Trump has a very strange idea about how things work, you know? And so you got to really look at this and decide what you want as a society and then how we're actually going to reasonably pay for it. There are lots of ways to do things and save money, and you know, and spending isn't always the answer, but nothing comes for free. So you got to really be realistic about our approaches to problems and to solutions. And if you're going to choose a solution, then you have to provide the resources to make that solution come to pass.
We're talking with our good friend, Mr. Earl Bender here, reliving the year 1977. He worked in the Carter administration then, and as you heard, was involved in putting together many events, including the likes of Jimmy Buffett and many others. Great Willie Nelson, of course, who sang at the 1980 Democratic Convention. That was the re-election for Mr. Carter. And, you know, we're listening to Queen now. And, of course, Freddie Mercury, the late Freddie Mercury. Movie's coming out about him soon. You know, gay, in the closet most of the time. But the fact is that, you know, this song really was, you know, I guess typical of sort of the win. You know, we are the champion. No time for losers. And, you know, that's another piece of the 1970s. I mean, again, I give Carter so much credit for, you know, for not necessarily looking to have cheap wins. And I mean that by, you know, going into Tehran and blowing up, you know, that world. And, you know, we could have rescued hostages and killed, you know, so many Iranians and so many Americans. You know, that was another part of maybe the culture being more coarse you know, win at all cost. And of course, Reagan, you know, well known after he won the presidency in 80, you know, bomb Iran, that whole thing, you know, the sort of, you know, real, you know, similar to where we are today, you know, with Donald Trump. You know, it's like, you know, we used to take him, you know, behind the back of the store and do what we wanted to do. I think Trump said something, words to that effect, what they used to do in the old days. You know, a little bit of that was also penetrating. Talk to me about that, Earl.
Well, I think you're right. I think the seeds were there, and it was found in the tax revolt that got kicked off in California in 78 with Prop 13, as you suggested. And it was a time when people were beginning to say enough was enough already. But they also, at the same moment, wanted government to do stuff for them. They wanted workplace protections. They wanted workplace safety. They wanted women to have equal pay. They wanted an EPA that actually cleaned the water and cleaned the air, because Pittsburgh was unlivable. L.A. was smogged in dozens and dozens of days per year, and you had to fix these problems. And Carter started the chain of events that fixed them, but people still haven't come to terms with how do we pay for what we really need.
You know, it's so true, and you know, I just think that I hope that this had a chance to educate a lot of people who either were not alive then or who really forget about how many good things that Carter did, and how he opened up, as you said, to the world of science with the solar panels on the White House, to the focus on energy, the focus of deregulation that gave us the microbrews that we talked about with Jay Beck. All these things that I think that we really need to take into consideration. Earl, it's always great checking in with you. And reliving this, we're going to have to do this again very soon, and maybe you know, pinpoint a couple of big issues there. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate this, and best to you and your audience.
Thank you. I want to thank Ron Kreider for producing this broadcast with help from Sarah Billingsley on the web. And, of course, we thank you for listening to this show. And you can go to RevolutionRadioNetwork.com, listen to the broadcast starting at 4:06 Eastern Time. And we ask you to tune in next week. Keep on fighting, folks. My name is Jeff Santos, and I gotta go.